online, kchanews.com. Good morning, Kay Winkleman.
Good morning, Chris Berg. Nice soaker of a rain yesterday.
It was getting over an inch and a half here in the downtown Cheryl City area, but closer to 2 inches over by New Hampton. Much needed rainfall. Hopefully we can at least put a dent in the drought. I'm not sure that that rain fell quickly enough in the week for it to actually matter for this week's drought monitor, but I guess we'll wait and see tomorrow morning. Well, we do have community conversation number two brought to you by Floyd County Medical Center. It is a let's talk City of Charles City kind of day with City Administrator Steve Deers. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Well, as always, plenty to talk about. And when it comes to Charles City, like the budget.
The budget.
We'll kick off with the budget.
Yeah, so we had our public hearing on approving the budget on Monday night, and we were able to move forward with that. So it was interesting process this year because each of the last couple of years there have been some tweaks to the process that really kind of push it back. And so it'd been 2 months since we had talked about anything budget-related, so it was kind of, you know, restarting the fires talking about, okay, we've kind of... You worked through this here about 2 months ago, but here we are at the public hearing, and it went well. Our levy rate's actually down this year. It's down 56 cents, which is always nice, but you know that's just a function of the overall thing, right? So, I mean, we had our valuations were up for the first time in 3 years, so that was well received and certainly needed. So while the tax levy, you know, went down, we are collecting about another $130,000, I think, in property tax dollars. So, but we approved that budget on Monday night, and so that'll take effect starting July 1st.
Wonderful. Huge weight off your shoulders, I'm sure. All of you.
Yeah, that's always, it's a long, difficult process because there's so much to it, all the different departments and different, trying to make things work. And it never gets any easier, it seems. And so I think what we're probably going to do next year is we usually start this process on a department head level in November, and then by December the council kind of meets and goes through reviews our goal setting and updates that if we need to, and our CIP plan or capital improvement plan. I think what we're going to do is we're going to push that stuff back to starting that in January, really start hitting the budget in February, so that way it's more in real time next year. So we'll tweak it and kind of work through it. But yeah, so is a spring is here, the budget's done, it's projects are starting to get underway, so it's a good time of year.
All right. Well, that being said, now you're looking for a fire chief. Those applications were due last Friday. How's that looking?
They were, yes. And, I haven't actually looked through the applications yet, but I know we received quite a few. I saw a lot of them coming in. So, Marty Parcher, thanks to him for coming out of retirement to kind of serve in an interim capacity, but we want to allow him to retire to one job. So, we've been talking about, getting the full-time, long-term replacement for fire chief here for quite a while. And so yeah, we're at that process where we've taken applications. We'll be reviewing those here in the next week or two and continue that process through and getting somebody appointed and in that role for the City of Charles City.
Well, excellent. Sorry.
No, on that note, are you...
You guys owe each other a Coke.
I know, right? Yeah, jinx. Are you looking for any firefighters too while this fire search is going on?
We've done very well really in the last year and a half. I think we've added maybe about 10 volunteers, something like that. I mean, we've added quite a few. It's really our numbers have really grown in the recent months, and credit that to our firefighters that we have there, our fire chief, for really kind of being able to recruit and get people on board. So we're getting people in. That's actually one of our talk about the budget. One of our bigger expenditures we're looking at this next year is whether it's this year or the following year, depending on timeline, we're going to be replacing one of our main fire trucks, like our main pumper truck number one, as it goes. And so that's probably about a $600,000 expense, maybe north of that. And we're also going to be replacing about 25 SCBA units, which will be about $60,000 worth of equipment, and just kind of updating that, updating that so that it's compatible with a lot, what a lot of other fire departments use in the area, and you know, getting those things updated. So a lot of things involved with the fire department, a lot of things, our equipment and staffing, that we're seeing a lot of growth there and a lot of good things.
Awesome. All right, let's talk about the housing update. Plenty of things to talk about there, like thriving communities.
Yeah, so quick update on that. So, you know, at the end of the day, the low-income housing tax credits, which fund the affordable housing piece, that application was due by the developers April 10th. And so, you know, towards the end there, we had about four different properties in play, three different developers. A couple spots, you know, weren't going to be rezoned, so that developer pulled out. We had a developer looking at Cedar Health. I really thought that might be a great option. They ultimately pulled out because even with waiving the back taxes and the tax credits and everything involved with that, it was just too much for that property for them to take on. So trying to learn more about what that means, too much, so we can really try to deal with that property going forward. But grateful and thankful that ultimately we had one project application, and that's for the site out there that Charles City Area Development currently owns. They have a sales agreement to sell land for a dollar to this developer called Commonwealth Properties. And they're going to look to build about a 40-unit multi-residential facility made of two apartment buildings and then one clubhouse building, which is kind of their, you know, their admin and exercise room and a community room type thing. So they've got their application in. So now the process begins. So now everybody in the state is applying. There's only a certain number of those tax credits available, and we'll see where they come out in the ranking. Probably sometime end of May, early June is when we really kind of learn about that. And so then by July 1st, they look to commit to a project with the state. And so that's kind of the general timeline for the affordable housing piece. We also receive bonus points on a workforce housing tax credit. So those are due in June. So I've been having initial conversations with a couple different developers on that. Nothing real solid yet. But, this would be for market rate housing, what they call workforce housing. And most of the conversations, again, have been on, you know, potential multi-residential family style construction. That's what's the most cost effective and what a lot of them think they can do. But we're also having discussions on what would it take to get some single family housing in some areas, too. So be interested to see where that takes us. It's no easy task. We don't have any developers. We don't have any contractors in the area to do this. Nothing that can do this scope of a project. And so we're basically trying to convince people to come up from Des Moines and Cedar Rapids and out of state to come in and build some housing for us, because we do need housing.
Well, it's really sad about the Cedar Health building and the developers there pulling out. Is there anything the city can do to make that, safer for the public? You know, with broken windows and all that stuff, anybody could just go right in there.
Yeah, you know, we're leaning on the owners a little bit to get that done. We've talked about it on a staff level about, you know, what would happen if the city took ownership of that building. I have no problem, you know, recommending that we do that. I just want to make sure that we have a path forward and we're not stuck with a liability sitting up there that we have to, you know, demolish ourselves. I mean, I think there's potential funding available for brownfield type redevelopment, which would either help, you know, clean out the problem there or take down the structure. But until we have a clear pathway forward on that, you know, we're not willing to commit to acquiring it. But I know it is available. We could probably get it if we wanted it for nothing. But it's just the cost of remediation that we need to get squared away. And I think that's ultimately what's going to need to happen there, because if a developer is coming in and can get basically the property for free, get the back taxes waived, get federal tax credits to build something, and they say it's still unfeasible, that's where somebody's going to have to step in and do something, whether it be the city, the county, some entity is going to have to step in and do something with that, because it's an iconic location, you know, South Main and Highway 14. You can't miss it. So it's either a really good thing or a really bad thing. And right now it's a really bad thing. Mm. So we want to get that addressed and taken care of. We're just trying to figure out how to do that.
Well, wheels in motion nonetheless.
So question on that. Obviously there was a fire there recently. should something happen to someone, whether they're trying to get in or quote, living in there, whatever it may be, and something happens to that person, who is liable?
Probably the property owner, I would say. Yeah.
Okay. Well, hasn't been to town for a while, apparently. So let's talk about Main Street resurfacing. There's some updates on there, even an approval. Talk about that.
Yeah. So that's one of our big projects. The big project this summer is obviously the resurfacing of Main Street. And the plan is currently to resurface Main Street all the way from the courthouse up to North Grand Street by Pure Prairie Poultry, and also redo a block of Gilbert Street there, right next to the courthouse and that bed and breakfast. So we bid this out through the DOT because we're getting $800,000 in DOT money to help offset and do this project. So the DOT held that bidding. Bids came in. We got two bids. They were within $11,000 of each other, really close. But they're like the winning bid was like $2.48 million, and our estimated cost was somewhere closer to $2.2 million. So it's a couple $100,000 higher than what we were anticipating, which would mean more dollars out of local option sales tax to be used on the project. So on Monday night we reviewed plans and specs. Council approved those. They also approved the bid. Now that we've approved the bid, we can actually officially start meeting with the contractor and our engineer. We're working with an outside engineer on this scope of project to look at ways to massage the project and try and bring that price down. So one of the things I know we're going to be looking at is that section of Gilbert Street will probably, you know, just right off the cuff, that part will probably be coming off because we had a couple of water main breaks out there this spring that we found there's some pretty bad water main that's chopped up in that area. So best to get that fixed rather than pave over it. And we're not ready to, you know, to fix that yet because we have other water projects going on. So we'll save that part and do it as part of a separate project down the road in the next year or two. But then are there other parts of this project that we can do to help, you know, reduce some of the cost? And those are some of the things we look at, whether, you know, we've penciled in or bid out a lot of staging so that parts are opening, you know, at different times. We might need to relax some of those restrictions on staging to allow them to be here for longer periods of time, so less mobilization. Those are the type of things we'll be looking at as we try to get that price down to a comfortable level and still be able to move forward with the project.
Do you think, Steve, the timeline is feasible, given the stage where you're at with this? The timeline of getting this thing going this summer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the bidder had indicated that they're ready to get started pretty quickly. It's a sizable project. So I'd like to think that we'd be able to get it done this construction season. Mm-hmm. You know, I know early on there was some hope that, if we get this bid out real early, we maybe have it done by the 4th of July. You know, that's obviously not going to happen. But if we could get it done by this fall, that'd be great.
Yeah.
All right. We are speaking with City Administrator Steve Deers on Community Conversations. Let's talk about some other projects in the works as well. Howard Street, permeable paving. What's the update on that?
Yeah. So that project bid out. That one actually came in under bid, so that was good.
That's nice.
But that one's going to get started here in May. That's doing about two blocks of Howard Street down there towards the end by the river in permeable paving, using some of our final sponsor project dollars to help offset the cost on that. We've got the Charlie Western Recreational Trail extension. That's going to be happening. I think that's going to start sometime in June, maybe July. That project's going to be going on. We've got on the water side, we have our Clearwell project that's adding 1 million gallons worth of storage. That project was planned to be finished last November, December. Contractor couldn't quite get there, so we're looking at probably another month or two of work here this year for that to get finished up. That project will be completed. So the last thing we'll have to bid out then will be our 13th Street project. And so that's the street that would connect that area out there where the housing developer is looking to build. They'll connect that street finally. So we've got there's a Cedar Crest housing out there, and the road just kind of dead ends. Well, that road would continue down and connect to Corporate Drive. And so that project will be getting bid out here in the next few weeks, month or so. And we hope to have that project done yet this year as well. That's a fairly straightforward project. The water and sewer is already in the ground. So we're just talking about concrete curb and gutter and then the paving of the street area. So, and it's about, 300 feet. So good city block, maybe a little bit longer. So that project will get done yet this year, we hope, as well.
Excellent. And then one big final topic.
One big final topic, which is so crazy because my husband just asked me about this last night. Spring cleanup.
Spring cleanup, yes. It is starting this Saturday, April 20th through 27th. We tried to schedule it for the same week as we did each of the last couple of years, which would have been the week we're in right now, which is basically rainy all week. So we dodged a bullet there. And you
foresaw the forecast.
That's exactly right. So we thought, you know what, we're going to delay this week, make sure we have sunshine. Chris just promised us sunshine early part of the week, so that's good, right?
Yeah, sure.
So the spring cleanup, this is our third year of doing the drop-off style event. That's worked really well. You can bring a truckload of items out to Shaw Avenue Dump. On the weekdays, it's open from 9 a.m. till 7 p.m., and then on the weekends, it's open earlier. It's open at 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. So, a truckload worth of stuff, quote unquote, we don't measure that much. So it's about a truckload. So if you have a car that equates to a truckload, whatever it means you have it to get out there, bring it out and we can take it. We also started taking, four car tires per property too here when we switched. And so that's worked pretty well. Just bring proof of your address that you live in city limits, because this is for people that live in town. And so if you have a water bill, anything that shows your address in town, then you can show the guys there and you'll be able to go dump your stuff. So
how do you verify? I know they have to show like an ID or a city bill or all that, but how do you know they don't go out there like three or four different times?
Well, they keep a list. We have a running list of all the, we basically use a list of utility bills. So once you get checked off, then you're checked off. So
there ain't no sneaking by the city of Charleston.
Kind of like when you vote, same kind of thing.
Well, maybe not that restrictive, but I mean, I guess you could, if you find a friend and work out a deal, there's all sorts of ways to get an extra truck.
Sure, yeah.
Now, due to spring cleanup coming up on Saturday, there's some changes to the Shaw Avenue dump site. I believe it's going to be closing here.
The main part of the dump is going to be closed and accessed by key only. That being said, we'll still have area out front for people to dump off leaves, dump off brush, pick up mulch, all those type of things. But we're having a lot of problems with people coming into the dump from outside of town, outside of the county. I mean, from all over. There's been some trucks out of Minnesota coming in with tree branches and stuff. So we can't, it's all we can do to take care of our own. We can't take care of everybody else's as well. So unfortunately, we're going to have to start locking it up. And, if you're a tree removal person, we've been reaching out to those folks. You can contact the street department, the police department, get a key, city hall. To get access in there if you have a large load, but we just can't be handling these large loads. And the reason they're coming from all over different places is that everybody else has locked up their brush dump. We just have been able to, we wanted to keep it open and we wanted to keep free access, but of course, that's not possible to do that now because the pile of wood mulch that we've had is just, it's unsustainable to be taken so much. So,
huge pile. So I'm a person who absolutely can't get my stuff out there.
Yep.
How can I make sure I get helped by this?
Absolutely. So that's something we started too a couple years ago when we moved to this drop-off style as opposed to a curb pickup. So we knew there'd be people, a good number of people that don't have the means, don't have the ability to get things out to the dump. So each of the last few years, we've coordinated with the Rotary Club and the Lions Club, and then the high school. So we get a couple of guys with a truck and a trailer, one from the Rotary, one from Lions, and then we get the muscle from the high school wrestlers and football kids and whomever to come. And what we do is we ask people that if they don't have the means, if they don't have the ability to get out there, contact City Hall, 641-257-6300. Talk to the gals up front there at City Hall and tell them you'd like to be put on that list. So we're doing that pickup on Wednesday, the 24th, I believe it is.
Yep.
And so, you need to call in, by Tuesday, because Wednesday morning we're going to be out and about and picking those things up. So if you can't get it done, call City Hall and we'll get somebody to pick that stuff up. We do ask that the stuff be outside. You probably don't necessarily have to have it out to the curb, but if you have it at least out on the sidewalk, so people, you know, the people know where to go to get stuff. I know last year we ended up, you know, going inside somebody's garage and it was this, not that, this, not that. So we really can't do that. We need to have that stuff in an area where the crew can stop, see it, pick it up, grab it, and go.
All right.
So thank you.
Well, thank you very much for stopping in, Steve Deere, City Administrator here in Cheryl City. We'll be talking to you next month.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Do you have something to say?
Do you have a song request?
Oh, yeah. I guess we should get to that, too. Which we won't be able to play that until after our quiz. So.
Oh, well, I guess I'll listen to the quiz for sure then today. it's a song. It's, you know, a Jason Isbell song, is no surprise. But the song's called Hope the High Road. It's been a couple years since I requested this, but it's probably one of my favorite songs of his. It goes back a few years, but you know, it's springtime. You know, it's things are spring. Things are hopeful. We need some hope. Let's have hope for the high road.
All right.
That's coming up right after your Nearly Impossible quiz being brought to you this morning by Quality Auto Service and All About Cheesesteaks.